Welcome back. This is Sermons number 72, and we are picking up the story in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So stick with Yahweh and you'll go places. This is Moses still speaking, by the way. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that verse means, although it does sound nice. Now, does it mean when you come into your house at night and then go out again in the morning? Or does it mean when you come into this life and when you go out? I guess, you know, when you come into this life, you haven't yet had a chance to hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh Elohim. But your family has, your tribe has. And when it says you'll be set on high above all nations of the earth, it's really talking about your tribe, you know, your family, or your people, or your nation. So if you're an Israelite, and the Israelites as a people are obeying Yahweh, you'll be blessed as you come into this life and as you go out. Your entire life, in other words. Anyway, that's what it might mean. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So, even though they may launch a frontal assault on you, they'll soon be in a panicked retreat and they'll be scattering in all directions. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee is the promised land, remember, Canaan. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. So, you'll be called by the name of the Lord. You'll be the people of Yahweh. You'll be honorary Yahwehlians, and you'll be marching under the Yahwehlian banner. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And remember, you can charge interest to other peoples. You just can't charge interest to a fellow Israelite. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, notice it says other gods. It doesn't say false gods. It doesn't say fake gods. It doesn't say pretend gods. There's no indication that these other gods aren't real gods. They're just not the right God. They're not the God that you have to obey in order to prosper. See, I'm making it a very practical thing, you know. Follow Yahweh and you will prosper. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And then it goes into the various forms that this curse will take. And it's kind of like the plagues back in Egypt. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Now, this blasting and mildew are crop diseases, I think, which would mean hunger, if not starvation. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. So it's talking about dust storms and sand storms and things like that. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Just turning that earlier verse on its head. This whole section, is like a counterpoint to all the good stuff that'll happen if you obey Yahweh. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. I don't know what all those are, but they don't sound pleasant. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. Now, we know what madness and blindness are, but I don't know what astonishment of heart is, but it's probably some kind of emotional distress. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. So the things that you'll think that you own, you really won't. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, taken into slavery, I guess, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Now, oddly enough, Here there is the indication that the other gods are not real. Some of them anyway. They're wood and stone. You got to wonder, though, whether this might not be a later editorial insertion in order to make it line up with the monotheistic slant that they were going for. Likewise, this prophecy about the future king and the future captivity. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. You'll become an object of ridicule, in other words. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Cast its fruit. The immature fruit would drop off prematurely, and you won't get to rub olive oil all over you. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Stranger here meaning in the sense of foreigner, I think. So the foreigners living among you will take power over you, in other words. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servedst not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor shew favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustedst throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And then there's this remarkable passage, covering the next several verses, which foretells of widespread cannibalism as a way to survive this siege that the nation of fierce countenance will put upon you. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man which is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Now, I thought when I started reading that there was talk, when it was talking about the man that is tender among you, I thought that meant, you know, his meat would be tender. But it's more like, you know, that he was good-natured, but then his eye will turn evil when he really gets hungry. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. In Hebrew, Yahweh Elohecha. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So just in case there are any diseases or plagues that I've forgotten to mention here, you're not getting away. They'll be inflicted on you as well. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. So, just as it was a pleasure for Yahweh to give you prosperity when you were obeying him, it'll be a pleasure for him to destroy you when you disobey. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. There's that wood and stone thing again. Now, ancient Hebrew didn't have anything like scare quotes to put around the word Elohim. But if they had had scare quotes, they'd have probably used them here, you know, around gods. Thou shalt serve other gods of wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at the even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now, Josephus, we've talked about him before, says that many Jews were in fact taken back to Egypt in ships and resold into slavery. So to the extent that this is prophecy, it was fulfilled, at least in part. Well, that's the end of chapter 28, so let's go on to chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now, I'm thinking this verse actually belongs at the end of the previous chapter, because the covenant is apparently an agreement that if you obey Yahweh, you'll prosper, and if you disobey, you'll perish. So let's consider this next verse, the start of the new chapter. It's all arbitrary anyway. There were no chapters or verses in the original Hebrew. Those were added later. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. See, because, you know, he provided manna for food, and on at least a couple of occasions, water from a stone. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us into battle, and we smote them. And we took their land, and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. Thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and with this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So it applies not only to you, but to your descendants as well. For ye know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now these verses, I think, are drawing a distinction between the gods of these nations and the wood and stone idols that represent them. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against this man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. So just because you're an Israelite and the Israelites as a whole are doing the will of Yahweh and will be blessed as a whole, that doesn't necessarily give you a pass, is what I think of what this is saying. You know, it's probably what those Jews who got taken in ships back to Egypt thought, you know, that they were going to get away with something because their people were obeying Yahweh. But they were sold back into slavery, according to Josephus. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. You know all about Sodom and Gomorrah, but Admah and Zeboim may not sound familiar. You know, they were two more cities that were on the plain of Sodom, and they suffered the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know if they were as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah, but, you know, when you deploy nuclear weapons, you've got to expect some collateral damage, you know, in the immediate vicinity. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And that's the end of chapter 29. We're almost out of time, so we'll pick it up next time at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Until then, keep the faith. Don't serve any of those other gods, regardless of what they're made out of. And once again, go for the blessings, not the curses.